For some kids around the country, today's the day. For U.S. Secretary Arne Duncan, well, it's his dream too. Closing failing schools. It's been tried in Chicago. Will it work for the nation? It's the takeaway.
All across America, this is the takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Friday, June 5th. I'm Andrea Bernstein. John Hockenberry is away. Todd Zwillick is here. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Andrea. Coming up this hour, President Obama is in Europe today. Plus, we'll have a conversation about what's next and bring your new global reactions to his Cairo speech, plus political intrigue in London, making waves here in America. We'll explain it all. All this and more ahead, but first, this morning's top headlines.
President Obama is in Europe today. He's currently in Germany and visits the Buchenwald concentration camp later this morning, afternoon there in Germany. The president says that camp has personal meaning to him.
My grandmother's brother was part of the units that first liberated that camp.
What a family history this guy has. Today, the president also visits American troops wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan at a military hospital in the region. Then he moves on to France. Tomorrow, he'll mark the 65th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. Responses are still pouring in to the president's Cairo speech yesterday. House Republican leader John Boehner doesn't like what he heard on Iran.
He continues to say that he'll sit down with the Iranians without any preconditions. I just think that puts us in a position where America looks weak in the eyes of their rulers.
The president called on Iran to reject terrorism and nuclear weapons.
It's North Korea's nuclear weapons program that has the U.S. slapping new financial sanctions on that country. South Korean media reports that that America will blacklist certain banks that help the North launder money. The UN Security Council is considering further punishment for Pyongyang's latest nuclear weapons and missile testing. The families of two American journalists held in North Korea face some uncertainty this morning. Yesterday, the North's official news agency said the reporters were being put on trial for illegally entering the country, but there's no clear word this morning on whether that trial has begun. No one knows how the women are doing. They've been under arrest since March and could face years of forced labor.
A highly anticipated economic report is set to move the markets this morning. The latest monthly unemployment rate is due out. Market watchers predict it will spike to 9.2%. The S&P and Dow posted modest gains yesterday, both growing about 1%. The S&P starts trading at 942. The Dow begins at 8750. School's out for summer. Arne Duncan's spending his summer trying to figure out how to close failing schools. What are your big plans for the summer? Working? Looking for work? Traveling? Where are you going, Todd?
Oh, I'm going to be in New York. I'm going to be in Denver. Trying to formulate a trip for August. We haven't quite decided
all
yet.
All right. Very exciting plans up, coming our way. Tell us your stories at 1-878-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Give us a call. Send us an email. We'll be expecting to hear from you.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning. It's Andrea Bernstein here with Todd Zwillick. John Hockenberry's away. Insomniacs, you were watching President Obama make a joint appearance with German Chancellor Angela Merkel at Dresden Castle. Oh, just about an hour ago. Everybody else will catch you up on what he said. President touched on some of the same themes as he did in his major speech yesterday in Cairo, answering questions about nice words. Now, what can you do? He said when it comes to Mideast peace that he has created an atmosphere for the parties to get together.
There was a sense that all sides were getting so dug in and so cynical that you might reach a point where you could never get the parties back at the table.
Obama said he was sending Special Envoy George Mitchell back to the region next week to follow up on his Cairo speech, part of his answer to the question. Well, flowery words, but what are you going to do now? Todd and I were just watching the president's news conference, and we were both commenting on, well, it was a whole lot calmer than yesterday's fireworks in Cairo. Todd, you've been at presidential news conference. Is this typical?
Yeah, well, no standing ovations like he got yesterday on the way in and out. I mean, not
although we were just talking about how the Arabic press was telling him what a great speech he'd given as a preamble to some of the questions.
I think reporters in the Mideast perhaps treat politicians and presidents a little differently than we do. I'm not sure that they're sycophantic necessarily, but they do tend to gush over the president a little bit. I find it interesting. But back on the atmosphere that the president said that he's trying to create. You know, every time there's a new president in the United States, there's always this sense maybe this person's the one. Maybe this person can reset the Mideast in a way that gets something done that happened with, well, Carter got some things done with Sadat and Begin. All the way through, every single president brings a new hope. It seems like the president's trying to capitalize very, very early in his presidency on his popularity in the region to try to be sort of the catalyst for something real this time. Of course, all those questions are unanswered.
One of the things, and we'll be talking about this later in the show, by getting such a positive response in many sectors of the Muslim world, he seems to be doing what he tried to do in his campaign for president, which is organizing a grassroots movement to try to sort of not only win the hearts and minds of the leadership, but the people in the Middle East. And one of the big ways that he did that was talking about Guantanamo Bay. Here's what he said just a little over an hour ago.
It was done, and that's the past, and now we have to move forward. We have spoken to the European Union about the possibilities of working with us and helping us in managing the closure of Guantanamo. Chancellor Merkel has been very open to discussions with us. We have not asked her for hard commitments, and she has not given us any hard commitments.
Oh, that's a very interesting statement about the lack of commitments, since that seems to be what congressional leaders are clamoring for.
Exactly, Andrea. There haven't been any hard commitments. The only hard commitment that has been made is the president's announcement that he's going to close Guantanamo in a year. And after that, it's been nothing but question marks in the White House, in the Marine Corps, in Congress, and in Germany. Apparently, that's true.
One of the things that President Obama did say is this comment about the detainees. Take a listen and then tell me whether you think it's going to satisfy those who are saying that he needs to get a whole lot clearer and tougher on Guantanamo. Let's listen to this.
We'll be looking at individual cases, seeing are there people who can safely be transferred. If they are safely transferred, you know, where would they be transferred to?
These are all the same questions that are going to have to be answered before Congress, Democrats included, is satisfied that they're going to clear up money and a policy to allow the president to close Guantanamo. We're having this debate domestically. It's happening internationally. Where are these detainees going to go? Nobody seems to want them in their states, except maybe in Montana. I heard they're willing to have a prison
right.
in their
well,
backyard.
Prisons were always economic development for lots of communities until people thought about, oh, you know, do we want these quote-unquote terrorists here in our backyard. And I think that's the sort of thorny question that the president is trying. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of world leaders and members of the Arabic press picked up on yesterday is he didn't use the word terrorist in his speech while, you know, talking about violence and extremism and fanaticism. It was certainly very different from, say, what we heard from President Bush through especially the latter half of his tenure about the war on terror.
Well, part of the reaction to that seems to be that the word terrorism has become a very, very negative buzzword in the Muslim world because terrorism has become a symbol of much more than just bomb attacks or killing of innocents. It's become a word that connotes a lot of policy towards the Mideast and who you qualify as an extremist and who you qualify as a moderate, and that can be in the eye of the beholder. Well, we want to turn to a couple of a journalist and a professor of journalism to give us a sense of what the reaction has been from the Arab world to the president's widely viewed speech yesterday. We're joined now by Asra Nomani. She's a professor of journalism at Georgetown University and author of Standing Alone in Mecca, An American Woman's Struggle for the Soul of Islam. We're also joined by Mona El-Tawahi, pardon me. She's a columnist on Arab and Muslim issues. She's written for several papers, including El-Tahawi, pardon me, written for several papers, the Cairo-based Al-Masri Al-Yuhun and the International Herald Tribune. They join us now. Asra, let me ask you, have you been taking a look At the Arabic press, we've seen a lot of positive reaction. People happy for the nuanced approach that the president took in his speech. Aside from just utter joy, what nuances are you seeing in reaction?
Well, I surveyed the blogs, the comment boards, and newspapers from the Arab world to Pakistan, and what I'm hearing is that folks are open. People are open to the message that Obama had. One of the comments that I read, picked up on one blog, was, "It's our duty to go halfway and embrace this positive gesture." Another one said, "You know, it takes two hands to clap." So there's a responsibility that it seems that Muslims are willing to accept with this gesture. In Pakistan, there was an interesting editorial that said the Muslim world should now talk to President Obama.
Now, Mona, you've been reading Arabic papers and Arabic press as well, and following reactions on Twitter and Facebook and getting some reaction from the public?
Yeah, I just right as you were leading the intro into the show, I just got an email from someone who actually attended the president's speech at Cairo University, because I myself wrote an op-ed today criticizing him for not getting into or talking about democracy more. And this woman wrote to me and she said, if I can quote very quickly, she said, "I was in the audience yesterday feeling the same tugs you were talking about." But she said, "I do think on balance that he went just about as far as someone of his temperament with so many other audiences beyond simply Egypt could have done. The applause and cheers were electric when he began speaking about democracy, corruption, and the right to choose one's leaders. It was not lost on the men in the front row, believe me." And those men in the front row included President Hosni Mubarak's son, Gamal Mubarak, who's widely expected to succeed his father. So, I mean, the reaction is balanced and cautious, but there are some others who've gone out and said that he sounded like the Muslim Brotherhood. For example, a very famous blogger in Egypt called Wa'il Abbas, who was exposed to torture, police torture especially, said, you know, he kept quoting the Quran and not addressing reason but addressing emotions. And he said that to him made Obama sound like the Muslim Brotherhood, the biggest political Islamic group in Egypt.
Okay, well, Asra, I want to ask you, because in speeches like this, in any political situation, whether it's here in America or in the Middle East, it's quite easy to appeal to the broad center. And the majority of the Muslim world, just like the majority of this country, is probably moderate. So you're going to get positive reactions to a speech that's geared towards them. But what about maybe the liberal or conservative fringes in the Arab world, maybe people more closely associated with Hamas or more people more closely associated with liberal movements? What are we hearing from people who might not be in the moderate majority?
Well, interestingly, you know, Yvonne Ridley is a British journalist who converted to Islam after she was held by the Taliban after the bombing started in September 11th. And, so she's Western, but she practices a very conservative brand of Islam. And she called Obama a political Houdini. Mm-hmm. She criticized him as having too much soundbite and too little substance. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, on this one website called MuslimMatters.com, very popular among very conservative Muslim youth, there was a real conversation going on where there were the skeptics and the cynics, but there were the other kids who were pushing back and saying, look, we've got a duty to try. Are we content with, as one young man said, are we content when we are called towel heads and ninjas? We have to try to move forward and accept this invitation. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the op-ed that I wrote today is for this new religion website called Patheos.com, and I ended up quoting from Jerry Maguire's inspiration and said that he had me at hello, basically, when he said assalamu alaikum. And I think that sentiment, while it is emotional, it does touch the hearts of a community that feels very aggrieved and very ignored.
And Barack Obama started off with high popularity in the Muslim world, so he's taking advantage of it every step of the way. Asra Nomani, want to thank you for joining us. Mona El-Tawahi, Arab columnist and journalist for the Jerusalem Report and International Herald Tribune, giving us some reaction to President Barack Obama's speech in Cairo yesterday from the Arab world and from the Arab Internet. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253. On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.